Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We're studying the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, and the acronym FIBS provides a way to remember his four key ministries. Today, Erwin Lutzer tells us what they are and how they should impact your life. To learn more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. We're learning about the spirit we embrace and the four ministries he has in our lives.
If you try to remember the four ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, think of the word FIBS. Now you know that we're opposed to FIBS. We don't like FIBS. But if you think of the word FIBS, filling, indwelling, baptizing, and sealing. Today we're speaking only about indwelling, but it has implications for all the other ministries. And he says, you're sealed until the day of redemption. It means that we get to heaven and we are registered mail. We will arrive safely because the Spirit has come to stamp upon us the purpose and the will and the power of God all the way to the pearly gates. And he never leaves us and he doesn't forsake us. So why is it that you aren't smiling this morning? All of us should be. How privileged we are. Now, we've stressed the location of the Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've stressed the ownership. We are the Spirit's temple. We belong to the Spirit. Now we want to discuss the intention of the Spirit. We are God's temple, or we are the Spirit's temple. What happens in a temple? Worship. Temples are built to house God's. And that's why you were built, so that you could be a house for God in this world. Now, this is the Spirit's home. If you look at me, you are now looking at the Spirit's home. As I look at you, and I'm trying to look at as many people as I possibly can, I'm looking at where the Spirit dwells. And I see people here. The Spirit dwells in you, the Spirit dwells in you, the Spirit dwells in you. And you're a temple, and you're a temple. You're all temples if you've trusted Christ as Savior. But the question before us is this: how welcome is the Spirit in our homes? Have we welcomed him? Remember this now. You can see this juxtaposition. Here you have the Holy Spirit. And he's not called the Holy Spirit just because he needs a designation. He is entirely pure and holy. Entirely. There is no defect. There is no darkness in him. He is God. Here you have the Holy Spirit, and he has to coexist in our lives with all of our self-will, with all of our sin, with all of our compromises, with all of our rationalizations. Can you even imagine the grief of the Spirit? That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Spirit. And in context there in Ephesians, it's talking about bitterness and anger and evil speaking, all of those things that you haven't forgiven. You know those sins that you have so conveniently rationalized all of your life that you even think that standing in the presence of Jesus sometime you'll be able to persuade Jesus that it was okay to hang on to those sins? Do you have any sins like that? You're absolutely convinced? Do you realize the grief of the Spirit having to put up with all that? That's why when he's grieved, he doesn't depart, he doesn't leave, he just pulls back. Because he's a gentleman, he's not like demons who possess, who control, who are obsessive. No, 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 he's gentle. And you have to sometimes be quiet and very honest before you know his work. Why does the Spirit grieve? Why do we grieve the Spirit? Why does he experience such grief? First of all, because of what he knows. Those of you who are parents and you have teenagers, shall we say, and you have a teenager who's gone into the world, they've left the church and they've left you, and you grieve. Why do you grieve? Well, two reasons that I can think of is, first of all, you grieve because of what you know. You know that the far country isn't good. You know that there in the world, all of the wells are dry. You know that sin is never good. It always has hidden repercussions that boomerang in ways that are unpredictable and haphazard. You know that. Think of how accurately the Spirit knows that. The Holy Spirit knows that sin is but a front to God's sworn enemy. It's a front for God's sworn enemy, Satan. Satan hates God. Satan uses sin in the lives of believers to try to thwart God's plan. And he does it by trying to make sin look good so that we don't fear it. And the Spirit knows that. Yet there's the Spirit having to live with all of those compromises and the sins that we will not deal with. No wonder the Spirit is grieved. He's grieved because of what he knows. He's also grieved because he loves. You see, the reason we grieve for a child is because we love that child so much. If you didn't love, well then, you know, who's going to shed a tear over that? Why is it that David grieved so long and hard after Absalom? The Bible says David loved Absalom. So after Absalom died, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee." You see the grief of this man. Why? Because he loved. Now think of how much the Holy Spirit loves you. Spirit loves you in ways that no human being can love you. The Spirit loves you as Jesus loves you because the Trinity has taken up residence within you. And therefore, because he loves you, he is grieved when you go your own way. And at the end of the day, when you actually think your way is better than God's, and you say to yourself, "I'm going to do my own thing." And the Spirit has to put up with it. No wonder he is grieved. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, there's an interesting story. They want to fix the temple. And in order to fix it, they have workmen working, but they also have to carry junk out of it because the nation had really fallen morally and spiritually, and the temple was kind of like a garage. You don't know what to do with this? Oh, just put it in the temple. There's lots of room. So here you have workmen carrying stuff out of the temple, and they eventually uncover the law of God. And they say, "Guess what? We found the law of God." And then they stand up and they read the law of God. And people begin to repent. By the way, check your bulletin for this, though not this moment, please. Did you know that the entire New Testament is going to be read in this sanctuary in the not-too-distant future, beginning at 4 o'clock in the morning with Pastor Hutz, ending with me 9 o'clock at night, and in between maybe 60 or 70 readers? And we want you to be here on that Saturday for as long as you can be, just to listen to God's Word being read. Maybe it'll also trigger repentance. But they come across the law of God, and they say, "What do you know? We actually found a Bible in the temple that had been long since forgotten," and they begin to read it. You know, maybe it's time that your temple was cleansed. And if you begin to seriously cleanse your temple, the devil is going to stand there at the door watching you carry all this junk out, and he's going to say, "So you actually want to get rid of that bottle, that secret addiction that you have that nobody knows about, secret alcoholism? Are you actually serious about that? Do you realize how dumb you're going to look tomorrow and how sheepish when you're going to be dragging that thing back in? You know that pornography that you want to get rid of? Oh, you've tried to get rid of that before. Oh, sure, you're going to cleanse the temple. Sure, you're going to confess. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what? You're going to be dragging that stuff back in there. So the devil's going to be there saying, you can cleanse the temple all you like, but you're going to need this stuff. I'm asking us today by the Holy Spirit to not listen to that voice. I'm asking by the power of God that we say we cleanse it, and even if it should become polluted again, we cleanse it again because we refuse to accept the idea that the blessed, holy, holy Spirit has to live with the sins and the compromises with which we have become comfortable. Because you and I might be comfortable with our sin, the Spirit isn't. Now, when do you cleanse the temple? When do you cleanse your house? What about the Lutzer family? When does the place get cleaned up? Well, it depends a little bit on whether or not you're talking about the standards of Mrs. Lutzer or Mr. Lutzer. That is a difference in our home. But one thing is sure, when we have guests, it's cleaned all the time at some point. But when we have guests, boy, the house really gets it. That's the time when I get the vacuum cleaner out and we really begin to do some work at the house. Princess Diana died a tragic death. She also lived a tragic life. Many of us grieve over her death because we think of all that could have been if she had lived differently. But let's suppose that at some point when she was alive, she said she'd want to spend a weekend with you. Can you even imagine how your house would look as you prepared for royalty? My Christian friend today, royalty has taken up residence in your body. Yes, my friend, that is absolutely true. Sobering, isn't it? To think that royalty has taken up residence within our heart, that the Holy Spirit of God indwells our bodies. And one of the things that I hope we continue to do is to develop sensitivity to the Holy Spirit who's within us, who is not only resident but wants to be president. He wants to control us. And I trust that he finds free rein within our hearts. Thanks so much for joining us, and I hope that you join us next time as we continue this series, What We Believe. God bless you. I hope that you have a good day all day.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought us more of The Spirit We Embrace, the fourth message in a 10-part series on what we believe and the difference it should make. Next time on Running to Win, more about keeping a clean house for the Spirit to live in. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.